Welcome to the Beetlebugs Podcast. Yay! As people follow clues and take off both their shoes and walk come back to 69. Every road dream sound alive. The sergeant on the pink dark side. The piper travels through the sky. I'll hear and I am here.
Every road. Hello. Welcome to the season finale of the Beetlebugs Podcast, a podcast about the greatest rock and roll band in the world ever. My name is Aisha.
And I'm Jesse. And welcome to episode 15 and our season finale to mark the end of the story of the Beatles. I think that's an amazing achievement. Backslaps all around. Now, I know that a lot of our listeners are regular listeners, but we do have listeners jumping on board with every new episode. So shouldn't we just explain why the podcast is called the Beetlebugs Podcast?
That's a good point. Okay, so new listeners, listen up. When I was a little girl, like really little, I would call the Beatles the Beetlebugs. It's kind of cute and the name stuck. So, when we decided to do this podcast, we couldn't think of a better title than the Beetlebugs Podcast.
Less work for all of us. Perfect. It's news time.
Welcome to breaking news from the BBC, the Beetlebugs Corporation. The Cavern Club in Liverpool, the famous venue that helped launch the Beatles, is in danger of closing down. Director of the club, Bill Heckel, said that 20 members of staff had already been let go, with another 20 people set to lose their jobs. The coronavirus pandemic has had a devastating effect on the iconic venue. Heckel said that unless the government steps in to help, it may be the end of the road for the Cavern Club. The club reopened for a virtual Beatles Week with pre-recorded performances from Beatles tribute acts from August 27 to September 1st. And that's all for this episode of Breaking News from the BBC, the Beetlebugs Corporation.
On with the podcast.
Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
Now, we are approaching the last two albums recorded by the Beatles. Abbey Road and then the final Beatles album, Let It Be. But even though the albums were released in that order, they were not recorded in that order. Let It Be was recorded first, with Abbey Road being the last album ever recorded by the band. It sounds a little confusing, but it will make sense in the end. Oh, and one more thing. Originally called the Get Back album, it was later changed to Let It Be. So you'll hear us talk about the Get Back album and the Let It Be album. They're the same thing. Okay, now, we at the Beetlebugs Podcast have taken the decision to talk about the albums in order of recording, not in order of release.
We at the Beetlebugs Podcast? I don't remember being consulted about this.
It's because you weren't.
Oh, right.
You can say on with the podcast now.
On with the podcast.
In the last episode, the Beatles had finished work on Yellow Submarine. The project was not taken seriously by the band. The next album, as well as the next phase in the life of the Beatles, would prove to be very serious.
The band's last recorded album was the self-entitled The Beatles, better known as The White Album. The album was a huge success and has since gone down as one of the greatest albums of all time. It did, however, further the tensions that were beginning to develop between the four. The arrival of Yoko Ono onto the scene caused a rift to develop between John Lennon and the rest of the band. Paul McCartney said, "There was a lot of friction during that album. We were just about to break up, and that was tense in itself." John Lennon said, "The breakup of the Beatles can be heard on that album."
What the album did succeed in doing, though, was to return the Beatles to their rock and roll roots. Paul McCartney was determined to build on this.
McCartney's idea was for the Beatles to start work on a new album, with the rehearsals and production of the album being filmed. These recordings would form the basis of a film that would be released alongside an album. McCartney was also keen to get the band back on the road. To that end, the new album would be recorded before a live audience. After their tour of the US in 1966, the band had given up the rigours of touring, preferring instead to focus on studio work. They had taken studio recording to its very limits with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. McCartney thought that the time was right for the band to return to their live roots, but not everyone was in agreement.
George Harrison was adamant that he would not even entertain the idea of the Beatles going back on the road again. In fact, he was even against Paul's idea of recording their album in front of a live audience. He was done with all that.
The decision to film the making of the new album, tentatively titled Get Back, saw the Beatles using the Twickenham Film Studios to record the film and album. The rehearsals were an unmitigated disaster. George Harrison was particularly incensed by Yoko Ono's increased involvement in the decision-making process in the studio. Already feeling marginalised by the dominant Lennon-McCartney songwriting machine, Yoko Ono having equal footing with the rest of the Beatles was a step too far for Harrison. What made an already tense situation worse was Lennon and Ono practising what they referred to as heightened awareness, the idea that people who were connected at a much deeper level did not need to verbally communicate with one another. During band meetings, Lennon and Ono would stare at one another in silence, with Ono then relaying their joint decision to the band. This infuriated the rest of the Beatles. After a blazing row with John Lennon, George Harrison quit the band. A meeting was held to try and resolve their differences. But with Yoko Ono still interjecting in band matters, Harrison had enough and walked out. Lennon argued that Yoko was now a part of his life and that the rest of the band should accept that. Ringo Starr offered simple, if blunt, counsel, saying, "But she's not a Beatle, John, and she never will be." Despite popular opinion, Paul McCartney, although just as irritated by Yoko Ono's presence as Harrison and Starr, was more philosophical about the whole thing. McCartney was afraid that Lennon could be driven out of the band. He didn't want that and wanted to be as supportive to his friend and songwriting partner as he could. McCartney said during the recording of the album, "It's going to be such an incredible sort of comical thing, like in 50 years' time, you know, they broke up because Yoko sat on an amp." Eventually, Harrison returned to the band, but with certain conditions attached. No touring or concert, and an insistence that they leave the soulless Twickenham Film Studios and instead return to their new Apple studio on Savile Row in central London. The rest of the band agreed, and so on the 21st of January 1969, the Beatles worked on completing their new album.
George also decided to bring Billy Preston as a guest artist to play on the keyboards, as well as his musical talent. George thought that bringing in another person would help to lighten the mood in the studio. It worked! The Beatles all really liked Billy Preston, and they were really happy to have him to join the recordings. Billy Preston became the first artist to be credited on a Beatles record.
Let's take a look at the album.
It's track listing time. The listing went through a few changes before its final version was released. Here is the final version of the album, Let It Be. Side 1, Two of Us, Dig a Pony, across the universe. I, Me, Mine, Dig It, Let It Be, and Maggie May. Side 2, I've Got a Feeling, One After 909, The Long and Winding Road, For You Blue, and Get Back. Some timeless classics on this album. It has one of my favourite ever Beatles songs, and in my humble opinion, one of the greatest songs ever written.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
McCartney penned the song at a time when the Beatles were slowly falling apart. It felt as though he was carrying the weight, the burden of keeping the band together. It was a lonely battle, and one which had a devastating effect on McCartney. He was trying everything he could to keep the Beatles together and to protect their interests. It was at this moment in his life that McCartney had a dream where his late mother, Mary, visited him with words of comfort, words of wisdom.
Let it be, yeah, there will be an answer. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
In an interview, McCartney said, "It will be all right. Just let it be," she said to me. "It was great to visit with her again. I felt very blessed to have that dream. So that got me writing Let It Be." With its religious overtones, the song touches on themes such as love, hope, and redemption. Is the Mother Mary that McCartney refers to his own mother, or is there something more to it? McCartney says that the song's meanings are open to interpretation. Like all great compositions, it can mean many things to many different people. Released on the 6th of March 1970, Let It Be topped the charts internationally and has become amongst the band's most iconic songs.
Let it be. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Yeah, let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be.
Just never gets old. It's time for a fun fact. Did you know that the original album cover for the Get Back album was supposed to be a recreation of their first ever album, Please Please Me? If you remember, the Please Please Me album cover has a fresh-faced Fab Four looking down over the stairwell of the EMI London headquarters. The Beatles asked a photographer, Angus McBean, to recreate the shot with the now older and much bushier looking Fab Four. But the delays on the Get Back album meant that the idea was abandoned. But the two contrasting photos were eventually used for the two greatest hits album, better known as the Red and Blue albums, released in 1973. Come on, come on, come on,
please, please, we won't let that go. The Beatles had completed their recording of the album, but there was still the small issue of the accompanying film. They needed footage to close out the Get Back sessions. With Harrison still adamantly opposed to any kind of concert, the band opted for a compromise. They headed to the roof of their Savile Row building, and in freezing temperatures, the Beatles were back once again performing live. In that near one-hour performance, all the pressures, the differences and disputes evaporated into the icy mist as the four musicians, the four friends, warmed the watching onlookers with a performance that is still remembered some 50 years on. Chemistry was unmistakable. The smiles exchanged between the band spoke of shared experiences and a camaraderie that helped four young men from Liverpool to survive the most extraordinary rise to fame in modern history. For the first time. Don't you know it's gonna last? It would be their last ever live performance together.
The stress of the Get Back session left little appetite for the band to return to the studio to edit and mix the album. The album and its release was shelved. They'd had enough and needed a break. But there was trouble brewing outside the studio as well.
Apple Corp, founded by the Beatles to look after their business interests, was in trouble. The company was a financial mess, and its expenses unchecked. John Lennon didn't help matters when in a January 1969 newspaper article broadcast to the world that the company was on the verge of bankruptcy. McCartney was furious. He had seen the writing on the wall for some time and had tried in vain to rein in the rampant spending, but was met with indifference by the band and outright resistance by Lennon in particular. Paul McCartney once jokingly said that in 50 years' time, people would find it amusing that the band would split over Yoko Ono sitting on an amp. In fact, the end may have been precipitated by something just as mundane. The resignation of an accountant, Apple Corp, leaving behind a note saying simply, "Your personal finances are in a mess." The other band members soon realised that McCartney was right. They needed sound financial management. Lennon was wooed by Alan Klein, a shrewd New York accountant with a checkered past and reputation in the music business. John Lennon and Yoko Ono decided Klein was the man to represent the Beatles. Mick Jagger wrote to Paul McCartney, warning him to keep the Beatles out of Klein's clutches. McCartney agreed and pressed for Lee and John Eastman, father and brother of soon-to-be wife Linda Eastman, to oversee Apple. Lennon, however, was utterly opposed to McCartney's future in-laws managing the band's business affairs. He couldn't have opposed them on the grounds of their business acumen or their reputation. Indeed, the Eastmans had a solid reputation and considerable experience in representing creative talent. More likely, Lennon felt threatened by his creative partner's increased dominance in the band. Lennon always viewed the Beatles as his band, his to create, to lead, and ultimately to break up when he saw fit. McCartney was already his equal as a songwriter, some would argue even better. His exacting standards in the studio, where he took on a lead role in mixing and producing the songs, his musical proficiency and ability to play just about any instrument, his creative direction and innovation, perfectly illustrated with the Sgt. Pepper's album, and his zealous work ethic all served to challenge the unspoken perception that Lennon was the leader of this band. Giving over financial control to what he saw as the McCartney camp was inconceivable to Lennon, not to mention Yoko Ono. It must be pointed out, at this point in time, John Lennon was a troubled soul. Lennon and Yoko Ono had become addicted to heroin, and it caused major problems within the band. The rest of the Beatles were on eggshells around Lennon, who was given to violent outbursts. After the two were involved in a car crash in July 1969, Lennon installed a bed at the studio, as well as a microphone, for Yoko Ono to oversee and add her input to the Beatles' studio recordings whilst convalescing. The rest of the band were aghast, but remained silent.
Battle lines had been drawn. Lennon convinced Harrison Anstar to sign with Alan Klein. McCartney refused. Meanwhile, the Apple Corp's business went from bad to worse. Alan Klein did nothing to stop Lennon and McCartney losing the rights to their music publisher, Northern Songs. The business was a disaster. Paul was being proved right, but his was going to be a one-man battle. He refused to sign a contract with Klein, something that angered John, George and Ringo, but in years to come, they would thank him.
Despite all the problems, one thing kept the Beatles coming back to the studio, the music. Through all the upheavals and disputes, from Alan Klein to the presence of Yoko Ono, the Beatles were still producing music that would still be listened to for generations to come.
The personal lives of the Beatles were also undergoing massive change. Paul and Linda married on the 12th of March, 1969, never to be outdone by his songwriting partner. John Lennon and Yoko Ono also tied the knot just 1 week later. And with George and Ringo on holiday, John had an idea for a song. It was about his wedding with Yoko. The pair then went straight to the studio to record the song. You can hear John and Paul joking about recording a song without Ringo and George. John, who's on the guitar, says, "Go faster, Ringo." And Paul, who is on the drums, says, "Okay, George." Funny guys.
It got a bit faster, Ringo.
Okay, George.
Okay.
Standing in the dock at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the Mac says, "You've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy."
Recording for a new album started in earnest in July of 1969. McCartney had persuaded George Martin and Jeff Emerick to return to help produce the new album. George Martin needed assurances that the infighting that beset them in recent months would stop. McCartney, possibly more than anyone, seemed determined to keep the Beatles together. History would judge that determination a failure, but the album that was produced in the summer of 1969 was nothing short of a classic.
They're gonna crucify me. Drove from Paris to the Amsterdam.
Amsterdam Hilton, talking in our beds for a week. The newspaper said, say what you're doing in bed. I said, we're only trying to get us some peace. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me.
It's track listing time. On side one, Come Together, Something, Maxwell Silver Hammer, Oh Darling, Octopus's Garden, and I Want You. On side two, Here Comes the Sun, Because, You Never Give Me Your Money, Sun King, Mean Mr. Mustard, Polythene Pam, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, and The End. This album has some of the most celebrated songs in the history of the Beatles. There's a funk rock of the opening track, Come Together. There's what old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, describes as the greatest love song ever written, Something.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something
There's a great fun song by Ringo called Octopus's Garden.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been. In his octopus's garden, in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden, in the shade. We would be warm.
And then there's my favorite. Little darling, I feel that ice is slowly melting.
Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, it's alright. It's alright.
Oh, what a song. What a song. A timeless classic.
It's a special song for me as well. This song, and Yesterday are the two songs I remember you singing to me when I was little.
Indeed it is. It's the perfect song to wake somebody up with.
Side two of the album has come to be known as the medley. It's 8 songs recorded as one 16-minute piece. Golden Slumbers is a beautiful short song that is based on Thomas Dekker's 17th century poem.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. We'll sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby.
That leads directly into Carry That Weight. I love this song, but it makes me a little sad as well. I feel like this is Paul being very sad about the Beatles falling apart before him. He tried more than anyone to save the Beatles. Never mind, Paul, but a gold star for effort.
I never give you my pillow. I only send you my invitation. Celebrations, I break down.
Boy, you're gonna carry that weight. Carry that weight a long time. Boy, you're gonna carry that weight. Carry that weight a long time.
The final track on the album is fittingly called The End. Oh, yeah. It features a Ringo Starr drum solo. As well as Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison trading guitar solos. It sounded like almost 10 years and over 200 songs had brought the band to this seminal moment. It was somehow fitting that the one man who had tried hardest to save the Beatles would deliver their final and fateful recorded line.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Abbey Road was released on September 26, 1969. By then, John Lennon had already charted a new path with Yoko Ono. After the duo appeared at the Toronto Rock Festival a few days before the release of Abbey Road, Lennon decided that this was the life he wanted, away from the Beatles.
The Beatles met their Apple Studios along with Alan Klein. McCartney, forever pushing the band to move forward together, suggested they go back on the road and give the public what they really wanted, the Beatles live on stage again. It was then that Lennon dropped his bombshell. "I think you're daft. I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm breaking the group up. It feels good. It feels like a divorce."
The rest of the band were not sure if John was serious. They didn't announce anything to the press, in case this was just one of John's mood swings.
Not helping matters was Lennon telling the press that the Beatles will not be recording or performing again. McCartney, however, had been left devastated by Lennon's decision. "John's in love with Yoko, and he's no longer in love with the three of us," he told reporters. McCartney fell into a deep depression. The Beatles were everything to him. It had been all he'd known from the age of 15, just a year after his mother had died. He had become the band's driving force, its creative director and motivator. He was also the only one to take the financial aspects of the business seriously, and all his warnings fell on deaf ears. He was also the only one to refuse to sign away the Beatles to Alan Klein. But even the forever optimistic McCartney was about to reach breaking point. His wife Linda finally shook McCartney out of his slumber, encouraging him to get back to writing songs. He did just that. Just after Christmas Day in 1969, Paul McCartney started work on his first ever solo album. A few months later, he informed Lennon. "Good," came the reply. But the final nail was being prepared.
The Get Back sessions had been sitting on the recording shelves for a year. With Abbey Road now released, Alan Klein still wanted an album to go with the soon-to-be-released film. The album and film would now be called Let It Be. The album was supposed to be a back-to-basics approach with a raw sound, just like their early days. Producer Glyn Johns gave them exactly what they had asked for. But strangely, John didn't like the sound.
Lennon then asked famed American producer Phil Spector to finish the Let It Be tapes. Spector began changes to the album, McCartney's songs in particular. He added layers of orchestration which went totally against what McCartney and the rest of the band had originally intended. Neither Lennon, Klein or Spector consulted with McCartney. McCartney was also asked to push back the release of his solo album so as not to clash with the release of the Let It Be album, which McCartney believed had been butchered by Spector. When McCartney's album was finally released, he was asked if he was planning to work again with the Beatles. His blunt answer was no. Lennon was outraged. "I started the band. I disbanded it. It's as simple as that," he said. Lennon seemed more outraged that McCartney had announced to the world what Lennon had already initiated than the fact that the Beatles were disbanding. What followed was the tragedy of litigation through the courts. McCartney wanted the Beatles free from the clutches of Alan Klein. He wanted out of Apple. Klein refused to speak with him. McCartney saw no option but to sue for the dissolution of the Beatles. The case went to court and McCartney won. In 1973, the remaining Beatles contract with Klein had expired. They did not renew. In fact, McCartney's warnings about Klein had been prophetic. They sued Alan Klein, and Klein spent time in prison for fraud.
And so the greatest rock and roll band in history had played out their final drama. Years later, they put all their troubles behind them. They just let it be. Lennon and McCartney renewed their close friendship, but the Fab Four never again performed together. Each of the Beatles enjoyed successful solo careers, with Ringo Starr and especially Paul McCartney still going strong. But sadly, John Lennon was fatally shot in New York in 1980, and George Harrison died of cancer in 2001. Paul McCartney said, "I've lost my little brother."
And so the incredible, sometimes downright crazy, but always magical mystery tour that these four young artists from Liverpool took us on was over. But their legacy remains. How could it possibly not? The Beatles transformed the music industry and popular culture. They entertained and produced some of the most memorable, generation-defining music that has ever been produced. They also made us think about music in a completely new and different way. They made us think about love, life and death, war and peace. They inspired us, shocked us, and very often confused us. They made us laugh, sometimes laughing with us, and sometimes at us. From their early rock and roll and pop flourishes, they not only expanded the musical genre, they often created them. Every band from The Jam to Oasis, from Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin to Queen, were inspired and influenced by the Beatles. Bruce Springsteen credits them and Elvis Presley for giving him the reason to pick up a guitar that one fateful day and blaze his own trail down rock and roll's Thunder Road. Without the Beatles, there is no Springsteen. Without Springsteen, there's no Bon Jovi. And on it goes.
The 2019 movie, Yesterday, tells the story of a young man who suddenly wakes up to a world where the Beatles never existed. When he sings a song, Yesterday, to a group of friends, they look on, stunned and mesmerized by this apparent sudden burst of creative genius. "It's a Beatles song," he explained. "But nobody has ever heard of them." He rushes home and Googles the Beatles, but nothing but creepy crawlies come up. Then he searches up the rock band Oasis. Again, nothing. But of course, how could Oasis exist without the Beatles?
When the news of the breakup came out, the nation, indeed the world, was stunned. CBS News reported that the Beatles are breaking up. The event is so momentous that historians may, one day, view it as a landmark in the decline of the British Empire.
And that is the end of Season 1 of the Beetlebugs podcast. Yay! Thank you so much for all your support. We're going to take a break now because, you know, I'm back at school now and that really eats into my rock and roll lifestyle. But we'll be back before too long for Season 2. Keep in touch with us on social media for all the latest. All our contact details are in the show notes. And that's it for now. Remember, in times of trouble, there will be an answer. Just let it be.
Bye-bye! Bye.
Is that it? Have you finished recording yet?
Yeah, we're done. Cup of tea?
Ooh, nice one. 2 shikas, please. Move his rubber sole.